Good morning, guys. I like that song, Nearer to the Lord. And I'm thinking of a man this morning that we're going to talk about who lived near to God. Those who were in our group a month or so ago at James Pratt's house, we talked about a little bit about Elijah's life. And today I'm going to talk about the next section of Elijah's life. So I apologize to those of you who weren't there for the first bit. We'll go a little bit. I'll give a brief overview of that, and we'll talk about this second section of his life. But Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, but the scripture says he prayed, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. That's a man who lived near to God, right? You know, Scripture says in Philippians 2, don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it real briefly before we go back to Elijah. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. I think we could agree that we live, at least to quite a degree, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And that means we have an opportunity to shine as lights. But I don't think, you know, I think if we look at who Elijah was, I don't think we would say that he lived in any less wicked of a time frame than we did. If you turn back to 1 Kings chapter 16, and we'll just get a little bit of the context of Elijah's life. 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 29, this is the context in which Elijah lived. It says, verse 29 of 1 Kings 16, and in the 38th year of Asa, the king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. You know, maybe sometimes we say in this, it's like, isn't it bad enough? And they want to do more? You know, isn't the wickedness of last generation bad enough? But Ahab did more evil than all the kings who were before him. And if you read, that was quite a lot of evil. But even after he had done that, he added that he married Jezebel, a wicked lady who was the daughter of Ethbaal. Her father had the name Baal in his name, so he was obviously not a godly person. And Ahab went and served Baal. It says he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built. You know, Solomon built the house for the Lord, but Ahab built a house for Baal. You know, we think of that, that's quite the dedication. And it says that he did more to provoke God to anger than all the kings who were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and he set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. It was You know, it was a time of economic prosperity. Jericho had laid waste for years. But now that we've decided to serve Baal and not the Lord, well, who cares, you know? Joshua had said by the Lord to not rebuild Jericho, but that was probably for a different generation, right? So everything's going well. We've got economic prosperity. Doesn't matter if we serve the Lord, we can serve Baal. All these things are going on, but Ahab had provoked God to anger. And it says in chapter 17, verse 1, that Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." He was just a regular guy. Doesn't say who his father was. Doesn't say, wasn't a special place where he was from. He wasn't from the capital city. But he stood before God. So last time I shared about this, we talked about how after Elijah spoke that to Ahab, God sent him to the brook and the ravens fed him. And then when the brook dried up, he was sent to Jezebel's country, right? He was sent to Sidon. Isn't that how God would do it, right? Send him to the most unlikely place. And a widow provided for him in the most unlikely way. And what I'd like to take up this story in chapter 18 and verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab." You know, it probably was relatively easy for Elijah to listen to the voice of God when God said, "Get away from here and flee," because you didn't really want to be around Ahab when Ahab was mad, right? And so Elijah listened, and he went to the brook, and the ravens fed him there, and he went to Sidon and was provided for by the widow. I mean, it still took a lot of faith, you know, to be provided for by ravens and by a widow, you know, most unlikely ways. But now God's saying, "Go back to Ahab." And now Ahab is mad. But Elijah has been living near to God's heart, as that song was saying. He was living close to God. And, you know, we often say, right, being in the will of God is the safest place in the world. Well, I think we could say it's the only safe place, you know. And so just like fleeing from Ahab was the safe place for Elijah for those 3 years, the safe place now was to stay in the will of God and go to Ahab. Sometimes there's a time to flee, and sometimes there's a time to stand. And how do you know? Well, God will tell you. Ahab went, and Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For so it was when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, "Go into all the land, unto all fountains of water and all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lease not all the beasts." So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. So you see what Ahab is doing here? God had been putting the pressure on Ahab. You know, back in Deuteronomy, God had said that if a nation provokes me to anger, basically the same words that were used back there in 1 Kings chapter 16, God said that he would shut up heaven, that there be no rain. You know, in a disciplinary way. God was trying to discipline Ahab to bring him back. You know, and God does that to us sometimes too, right? You know, God will, if everything's going wrong in my day, maybe that's a sign that the Lord's trying to show me something, and I should, you know, maybe I should stop and have my devotions that I didn't have that morning, right? You know, but Ahab felt that pressure, but he didn't go back to the Lord, right? He was doing everything he could in his own strength. He was thinking, you know, well, if we're going to save these animals, like, I don't want all my mules to die. That's my wealth, right? You know, Ahab's like, protect my wealth. And he's like, you go this way, maybe there's some grass over there, maybe there's some grass over there. I mean, this is a desert place. This is 3 years, no rain. Do we ever do that? Do we ever, in our own strength, try to avoid what God's putting the pressure, but we're going to try and do things in our own strength. We're going to try and do things our own way. I think that's what Ahab was doing right there. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou would deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when he said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not told the Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. But now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. You know, when Elijah was there by the brook, and when Elijah was with the widow in Sidon, maybe he thought that Ahab was looking for him. Maybe he didn't know. But Ahab was looking for him. Ahab was putting a whole lot more effort into finding Elijah than Elijah was putting into not being found, right? But God was keeping Elijah hid, wasn't he? You think God can keep you hid even if there's Elon Musk's satellites up there all around the earth? I bet he can. I bet he can, right? And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. From Ahab's perspective, Elijah was the cause of all the problem. Because Elijah had said, right, there's going to be no rain. But who really was causing no rain? Well, it was the Lord, right? And why was the Lord doing it? Because of Ahab. You know, I think this is happening a lot in our day too, is people will say, for various reasons, to us as believers, you know, you're causing all this trouble. You know, you're causing all this division. You're against everything. You know, you're against everything fun. You're against homosexuality. You're against abortion. You're against divorce. You're against all these things, and you're just causing troubles. And it may look that way from their perspective, but I think we can rightfully say, just as Elijah did, you know, just as Solomon said in Proverbs, he said, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to every land. You know, who was the one that was troubling Sodom, right? You know, they thought that Lot was troubling them because he wasn't any fun and he wasn't going along with all their deeds. But Lot wasn't troubling Sodom. It was their wickedness that was, and God got Lot out and the fire came down. Elijah now has these 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the grove. He says, I'm the last one left. You know, so there's 850 prophets against Elijah. He's kind of outnumbered, isn't he? Well, not really, because I think Leonard Ravenhill might have said, he said, one man plus God is a majority. You know, one man plus God is a majority, you know. And we see that as the story progresses. It says, and Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Why? Why didn't they answer him? I think because they were going right along with the following two opinions. They were probably still worshiping the Lord some of the time, but they were also happy to worship Baal, you know? And they weren't quite sure who to worship. You know, and I think if we were going to put it in our culture, it would be something along the lines of serve God with everything you've got. And if you're not going to serve God with everything you've got, if you're not going to consider God worthy of worship, then go out and live for yourself, because, you know, these 70 years is everything you've got. You know, don't live a half-hearted life. Put God first and give him everything, or go the other way. You know, God says, don't be lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, right? And that's exactly what Elijah is saying there. And these people don't know what to say, right? Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it's well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock of yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leapt upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. Those gods aren't like the God of Israel, is it? You know, he who keeps Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. You know, God is ready to hear our prayers. But Baal wasn't. And they cried loud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Our God came and died for us, shed his blood for us. All the false gods, the Baals, the pagan gods, they always want blood from a person. But our God came to lay down his life, to be crucified for us, to shed his blood for us. That's the love of God that no other God can compare to. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, upon whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. You know, Elijah says the altar of the Lord was broken down and Elijah rebuilt it. Are there altars in our lives that need to be rebuilt? Something that was supposed to be on the altar, something that was supposed to be released to the Lord. I think there's altars that we're responsible for building, maintaining, and rebuilding. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. With all that water there, if he'd been given a thing of gasoline and a match, it still would have been a miracle if it had all burnt. But God licked up even the stones, even the water. God's willing to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." I don't think it's any coincidence whatsoever that the rain wasn't there until the wickedness had been purged. The very next sentence after the prophets of Baal were executed was God able to let the rain come again. You know, God had seen what Ahab had done, seen what the prophets of Baal had done, how they were turning the hearts of the children of Israel away from God. And He closed up the heavens. No rain. Put the pressure on. And when the children of Israel, because this was a act of the people. This wasn't just the act of Elijah. I don't think Elijah, by one man, went and slaughtered the prophets of Baal. And that would be a miracle if it was. But I think it was the people who had just saw God show Himself strong, who had just saw God show Himself more powerful than the prophets of Baal, the people changed their mind. And the people said, "We are going to purge the wickedness from our land." And they sliced down those prophets of Baal. Didn't let one escape. Right then was when there was able to be rain. And I think we can apply this in a personal way, is that God is looking to us to cut out every bit of wickedness that's around. You know, if we say, you know, "I want to see God work in my life more fully. I want to see Him work more clearly. I want to see God. I want to have the showers of blessing," like we sing in that song. If we want to see that, what we're going to need to do is slay those prophets of Baal. Slay whatever it is in our life. Rebuild the temple of the Lord like Elijah did, and cut out anything that is of sin. Cut out anything that is not loyalty to God. And I think it's no coincidence that right then is when we see the abundance of rain. When we see the blessing come is when we got those things straight. When we put God on His throne and we brutally execute anything in our life that is contrary to God. Let's pray. Father, I just want to ask that You would work in our hearts, Lord, that You would just help us to turn away from anything, Lord, that is not pleasing in Your sight. Lord, we want You to rule in our hearts, Lord. We want You to be on the throne, Lord. Lord, teach us what it means to rebuild altars in our life, and teach us what it means to execute the prophets of Baal in our lives, Lord. We want to see Your blessing. We want to see You work. We want to see Your name glorified. We want to be like Elijah, a man who stands in Your presence, Lord. Help us to be that kind of people. Help us to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.